Today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf lamed daled, and we are 8 lines from the top of daf lamed daled amid aleph Rabbi Akiva ikla leginzak. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for Achinu bnei Yisrael hanasunu batzaru vashifya. So the topic of yesterday's daf was a rather intense stam yenam yayin nesach sugya. Today's daf is going to begin with a much lighter postscript to what was discussed previously. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva ikla leginzak. Rabbi Akiva once traveled to the city of Ginzak. Now, Rabbi Akiva comes to a city, Pashkevillin, bright lights, tzaddik balair, kemuvin, everyone's going to run out and they're going to ask them their best question ever, right? So the Gemara says, the Olim got together and bo mine, they asked him 3 questions. The first question that they asked him was, misanin l'shois, or ein misanin l'shois? Could a person take upon himself a tainus only for a certain amount of hours, or could a person not take upon himself a tainus for a certain amount of hours? In other words, we know a person could be mekabel tainus. There's certain tainios that are set in stone that were decreed by the Torah, by Chazal, but a person, if he wants to take upon himself a customized tainus, this is something he's allowed to do. The question that was posed to Rabbi Akiva is a tainus all or nothing, or is there a concept of maybe being mekabel tainus v'shois? So they asked Rabbi Akiva this question, lehavabiyadi. He didn't know the answer. They asked him another question. Kan kanim shel oivdei koychavim asurim oy mutar? Pashit. It sounds like the question was, if there is a kankan, an earthenware jug that belonged to an Ovid Kechavim, he used it to store his wine, and now a Yid wants to drink or store his wine there. Can he or can he not? We have a biyade. Amazingly, Rabbi Akiva didn't know the answer to that either. And finally, they asked Rabbi Akiva, "Bemesh shimesh Moshe kol shivas yimei amalum." We know that Moshe Rabbeinu did the avodah during the shivas yimei amalum, even though Aharon HaKohen was the Kohen Gadol, but Aharon HaKohen began doing the avodah vayihi bayom hashmini on the 8th day from when the Mishkan had been erected. Who did the avodah the first 7 days? Moshe Rabbeinu did. Those 7 days are known as the Shivas Yimei HaMaluim. The Torah talks about the Shivas Yimei HaMaluim in the Torah twice. Pamayim Ba'ahava, Pamayim Ba'arichos. Once in Parshas Tetzava, the second time in Parshas Tzav. There's a lot of kachin, kemuvan, related to the Shivas Yimei HaMaluim. But either way, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that did the avodah during the Shivas Yimei HaMaluim. And they asked Rabbi Akiva, when Moshe Rabbeinu did the avodah, what kind of begadim did he wear? Meaning, we know a kohen had his begadim, the kohen gadol had his begadim, Aharon HaKohen on Yom Kippur, or the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, when he would go to Fnai B'lufnim, had a new set of clothing. So what clothing did Moshe Rabbeinu wear during the Shevis Me'amalum? And here too, it's Simdritim Olehava B'yotah. Moshe Rabbi Akiva did not know the answer. So they asked Rabbi Akiva 3 questions. Tain Shois or not? I don't know. Kan kanim shal oivdei keichavim? Could a Yid use it now for his wine? I really don't know. And what clothing did Moshe Rabbeinu wear during the Shivas Yimei HaMaluim? Again, Rabbi Akiva said, I don't know. So the Gemara says, Asal Shol Ben Midrash. When Rabbi Akiva returned to Beis Medrash, he walked into the Beis Medrash and he asked the Olam, tell me, I didn't know, I was stumped 3 times. What's the halacha? What's the answer to these 3 questions? So Amri, they told him as follows. As it relates to the question of yes, Taina Shois, or no Taina Shois, Hilchas HaMesanin L'Shois. There is a concept of Taina Shois. Not just that, Vim Hishlin, Mispalel Tfilas Tainas. A little bit of a discussion in the Achrayin on what the word Vim Hishlin means. But what it means for our purposes is that if a person's Mekabala a Taina Shois, then he has to be mispalel the special tefillah that a person is mispalel on a tainus. What's the special tefillah? Anenu. So if someone's mekabel tainus shois, he's mispalel anenu. The reason the word vim hishlam is a little bit hard to understand, because usually when you think of vim hishlam in the context of a tainus, it means you finish the tainus. If you finish the tainus, you say anenu. You finish the tainus, you're done, right? You say atochen antonu. You don't say anenu, you're ready after the fact. So what it means, Vim Hishlam is Palo Tfilas Tainas, that's a little bit of a much. But as it relates to yes, Tfilas Tainas or no Tfilas Tainas, Hilchasam Misanin Le Sha'ois, Vim Hishlam is Palo Tfilas Tainas. As it relates to the Kankanim Shalev de Kechavim, so they told Rabbi Akiva, Vihilchasa Kankanim Shalev de Kechavim, La'acha Yud Beis Chodesh Mutarim. Once 12 months passes, at that point it's going to be mutter. But for the first 12 months, it's going to be a problem. This is a roundabout way of saying that, of course, you can't use kankanim shel ovdei kechavim for your yayin. That's going to be a problem. Now, they said a chiddush, which will play itself out in the next Gemara, that once 12 months pass, at that point already, it's going to be mutter. This is a kula. That 12 months that pass from the time that this earthenware flask was used, at that point the halacha is that if you want to use the kankan, you can't, even without any form of kashering it. But the point is, for the first 12 months, it's going to be an issue. And finally, you want to know what type of clothing Moshe Rabbeinu wore during the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, b'chaluk lavan. He wore a chaluk, some robe, some beged that was white. Rav Kahana Masni, Rav Kahana had a brisa which added to this, and that was b'chaluk lavan she'im b'yimra. It wasn't just a white beged, but it was a white beged that didn't have any hems. Rashi says he's not sure why this beged couldn't have any hems. He said, Yesh Omer, I heard those that say that the reason was because Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be mekayim, the idea of v'yisem nekiyim me'ashem u'mi'yisrael. And if Moshe Rabbeinu would have a hem in his clothing, people would be choshed Moshe. They would say that Moshe Rabbeinu was stealing, he's siphoning the funds of the Mishkan. Right, he's walking out with money. What do you mean? We patted him down. We don't see any money. The Teretz is it's hiding inside the hem of the clothing that he's wearing. So to be mekayim the yisim nikim, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't just makbid to wear this chaluk lavan, which was something he had to do, but he had this extra kpeda that it was a chaluk lavan she'im bayim. So just a few things. Very, very briefly, as it relates to this Gemara that we learned. Number one, Rashi says that this shayla of Mesanin L'shoyis, Ha'im Mesanin L'shoyis, is only a shayla if the person's anyways going to fast the whole day. Now, we're not learning Masechtas Tainis, but it's a Rashi right here that's worth mentioning. Meaning, if somebody says that I want to be Makabala a Tainis, and I'm going to fast from the morning until Chatzos, or something along those lines, it sounds like from Rashi, that would not be a proper Kabbalah's Tainis. Now, if you want to do it, you can do it, and Tavoy Alecha Bracha, right? Maybe. But at the, I say maybe because it's a machlokes in the Gemara. Kala Yosha Betainis is Nikra Kadosh, or Kala Yosha Betainis is Nikra Choyte. But the point is, there is an Inyan of being Mekabel Tainis. But if you wanted to have a Heftza of a Tainis, if you want to be able to be Mespalel Tfilas Aneinu, if you want to be bound by all the laws of Tainiyos, for that, you can't just be Mekabel Tainishos, you would actually have to fast the entire day. Now, if you're fasting the entire day, so what makes it a Taina Shoyis? So Rashi says, this is where it's Negeya. Where it's Negeya is, where a person was Mekabel on himself to fast from Chatzos until the end of the day, but he also didn't eat up until Chatzos. Now, the Kabbalah's Tainis was a Kabbalah's Tainis for Mixas Hayoyim. Therefore, we look at it as a Taina Shoyis. And if you hold there's no such thing as Taina Shoyis, then this Kabbalah's Tainis is not going to be a Kabbalah's Tainis. A Baham Mia, you don't eat breakfast that morning. If you sit down to a Frishtig, you're out. Meaning, you have to fast the entire day. Without fasting an entire day, there's no value even to a Taina Shoyis. The Chiddush of Taina Shoyis is that you don't need the Kabbalah to be for the entire day, as long as the Kabbalah is for Shoyis. But again, but tonight that you at the very least fasted the entire day, it's then and only then that we're having this conversation related to Taina Shoyis. That's the first Rashi worth mentioning. The second Rashi worth mentioning is actually a Rashi Masechtas Tainis. Tosfos, it's the second Tosfos on the Yomud, Dibra Maschel, Rabbi Akiva Ikula Ginzak, brings that Rashi Masechtas Tainis, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, says that I saw a Girsa that said not Rabbi Akiva Ikula Ginzak, but rather Mar Ukva Ikla Leginzak. And Rashi there says, I prefer the Girsa Mar Ukva. And the reason I prefer the Girsa Mar Ukva is because let's be honest, does it make sense that the great Rabbi Akiva, Nun Sharei Bina, Rabbi Akiva who reached the level of Chachma, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went up to be Mekabel the Torah, he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, if you have a neshama like Rabbi Akiva, why are you giving the Torah through me? Rabbi Akiva is on a higher level. It would make much more sense to do it through Rabbi Akiva. So could it be, is it even fathomable that Rabbi Akiva would walk into a city, they would ask Rabbi Akiva three questions, Rabbi Akiva would say, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. It's impossible. Mar Ukva is also a Chiddush, but Mar Ukva I could hear. Mar Ukva was a Nasi, right? Mar Ukva is a whole different Indian than Rabbi Akiva. So says Rashi, I saw a Girsa that said, not Rabbi Akiva, Mar Ukva. You could see how those Girsais would have maybe been confused. And to me, it's a gefelt mechmer, the Girsa Mar Ukva, because to say that Mar Ukva didn't know the answer to these three questions, I hear. Again, of course, it's a chiddush, but at the very least, I hear. But to say Rabbi Akiva, I don't hear. Sometimes you can't even say, I hear. You need a license to say that. And I don't even hear that Rabbi Akiva would not know the answer to these three questions. V'oid, says Rashi, being that, according to the Girsa, Rabbi Akiva, we're dealing with a Tana, shouldn't this have been presented as a Braisa, right? Usually Tana, I'm talking Mishnayis, they talk in Braisas. This is not a Braisa, this is just Rabbi Akiva, Ikolo Ginzak. Now, if it's an Amayra, okay, this is the way Amayrama presented throughout Shas. But Tanama usually presented in a Braisa, I mean that usually presented in a Braisa. Again, sounds to me, says Rashi, that the proper Girsa over here is not Rabbi Akiva, but rather the proper Girsa over here is Mar Ukva. After Toisus brings this Rashi, he says, Toisus, Miu, Holoi Kasha, as related to the second question, meaning the first question, Rabbi Akiva didn't know the answer to these three questions, right? That's a problem. But the second question, that we would have a story with Rabbi Akiva and we wouldn't present it in the more traditional way of presenting Divrei HaTanaim, which is with a Braisa, that doesn't bother me so much. Because you actually find many places that Rabbi Akiva and really other Tanaim are presented in Shas with a Maisa Shehaya Kachaya, without the more conventional preface of Tanu Rabbanan or some sort of Braisa. It says, Tosfos, the first argument of Rashi, to me, is a little bit more plausible than the second argument of Rashi. Just one interesting thing that I think is worth highlighting, and that is that when you learn Masechtas Tainus, one of the first things you're told is that there's a little bit of a shaila, a little bit of a vikuach, whether Rashi on Masechtas Tainus is Rashi or whether Rashi on Masechtas Tainus is not Rashi. Really, the Mora d'Shmaita, as it relates to being Maharer, Achar Rashi and Tainus, that it being from one of the other Rishonim, is Rav Tzvi Eshchayas. Rav Tzvi Eshchayas in his Agos Mar Tzach says that I have many Rayas that Rashi Masechtas Tainus is not Rashi. Now, the truth is, a lot of different Masechtas in Shas where you have a Pirish Rashi on the side of the Gemara, and we know it's not Rashi. Most famously are Nedarim, Nazir, and Me'ilah. All three of those come from the same Makar. They come from the Chidah, who quotes the Yad Malachi, Rav Kiveg and Gilian Ashas, and Nazir Tabezim and Aleph, brings this Chidah, B'Shem the Yad Malachi, and that's something that we have a very clear Mesoira on. There's Rashi on Masechtas Horius, we once mentioned from Rabbi Margolis, that he believes Rashi and Horius is not Rashi, and one of his rayas is that every single time there's a Lazei Rashi in Shas, so the word that Rashi uses is Old French. In Masechtas Horius, there are two Lazei Rashi, and the two words are Latin, they're not French. Rashi didn't speak Latin, Rashi spoke French. And if that's the case, it must be one of the Bali Toisvis that spoke Latin. He says, I don't know for sure, but it could be it's the Rivan who takes over from Rashi and then the Masechtas Makis, because there's a Lazei Rashi and then the Makis, which is also Latin. So he says, I don't know for sure, but maybe it's the Rivan. This is classic Rav Reuven Margolis. Another one of the Rashis where there's a little bit of a Shaila, whether it's Rashi, not Rashi, is a Masechtas Maikot. But either way, Tainus is Yodua. That could be Rashi, and Tainus is not Rashi. We have a Tosfos over here where Tosfos says, Pirish Rashi, Beperakama de Tainus. If you look up Tainus, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, a little bit of a drum roll. So, does it say it or does it not say it? It says it verbatim. Rashi says as follows, Gors Mar Ukfa Iklo Leginzak Garsinon. The Ilu Rabbi Akiva, Loi Hoyo Mistapik Loi Hanuch Boy. There's no way he wouldn't know the answer to these questions. V'oi, the Beloshim Braisa have a Mishtoibe, Maisab Rabbi Akiva, V'loi Bigamar. Either way, this Rashi over here, that Toisvis quotes in Masechtas Tainus, is a Mefurish Rashi in Masechtas Tainus, which I think for sure is something that Rav Tzvi Eshchayas would have to find for, because the Bali Toisvis, you would think, know who Rashi in Masechtas Tainus was. Right. Just to appreciate a little bit, where does all this confusion come from? How did Rashi and Nedarim become not Rashi? Meaning, if it's not Rashi, then why would it be referred to as Rashi? So really, to understand this, you have to understand the history of the printing of the Shas, right? Rashi's, back in the day, were manuscripts. The Gemara, the layout, everything the way we have it now was Gershon Sansino or Daniel Bamberg, right? This comes from Italian Hevra. Bamberg wasn't even a Jew, and he hired and employed Jews, Kamuvin, but he wasn't even a Yehudi, and they have this printing press, and, you know, they find this Pirish that it seems people are learning, and he puts it on the side, and he calls it Rashi. I don't know, Kasha Famaisa. If you appreciate the history of printing, it's Bechlal Nachver, where this confusion would have come from. But either way, here you have a Tosfos that refers to a Rashi, Masechtas Tainus. We have this Rashi. Certainly lends credibility to that side of the argument. Either way, we digress. Going back to our sugya, so the Mishnah had said Hacharzanim v'hazogin shel oiv dekeichav. So the list mentioned in the Mishnah, Daf Chav Tesam and Beis, is elu dvarim shel oiv dekeichavim that are asurim v'isurin isur hana. And one of the things that are mentioned is hacharzanim. Those are grape seeds v'hazagin. Those are grape peels. So the Mishnah said that according to Rav Meir, these things are asur, and they're also asur b'hana. The chachamim say it depends. Lachin, if they're moist asurim, they're going to be asur. Yivechim, if they're dry, mutarim, they're going to be mutar. So just to appreciate the metzius a little bit, we're talking about someone that's pressing grapes to create wine. In the process of creating wine, you're going to end up with seeds, chatzanim. You're going to end up with a little bit of grape peels. That's the zagim. And the question is, are they included in the halach of stam yena, that they're asabana, or not? They're part and parcel of the materials and the ingredients that are used in the winemaking process. So you could hear that the gzeir of chazal, of stam yena, would include them as well, or maybe not. And really, that's this machloikis in the Mishnah. Rav Meir says the chatzanim and the zagin is no different than the yayin. And if stam yenim is also b'shti, it's also b'ana, then the chatzanim and the zagin is going to be the same exact thing. The chacham say it depends. If they're lachin, they're moist, then they're going to be aser. Yevashin, if they're dry already, in that case, mutarin, they are going to be mutar. Zok Gemara Braisa, that expounds a little bit on this machloikis. Hachatzanim v'hazagin shalev dekechav lachin asurim yevashin mutar. Says the Gemara, hayninu lachin v'hayninu Yivashim. What is the definition of lachin? What's the definition of yivashim? I'm going to read the Mashmul. So please send the name of Shmuel. Lachin is called Yud Beis Chodesh. The first 12 months after the grapes were pressed, so that's when this is considered lachin. So the chatzanim and the zagin then, according to the chachamim, are going to be also lachin Yud Beis Chodesh. However, is yivashim. Once 12 months pass, at that point already, it's going to be considered yavish. So the definition of lachin yavish is not like feel it. Right? Is it moist? Did your finger get a little bit wet? Or not? That is not what it depends on. Really, it's a zman thing. So for the first 12 months, we view it as lachin. Once 12 months pass, we view it as yevashim. Now what's the svara, right? What's the chiluk, lachin, yevashim? Just to appreciate this a little bit better. The first 12 months, we perceive the chatzanim and the zagin to actually be part of the wine. We perceive it to be part of the grape. That's what it is. Once 12 months pass, it becomes yavesh, literally yaveshim. It dries out to such a level that we look at it almost like afar. We look at it as wood. It loses its chshivas of oichel, certainly of anovim and yayin. And it's for that reason, there's no reason to incorporate it in a gzera that's related to yayin. Says the Gemara, itma omer rabba bar bachanam rabbi yoichan, kishahim asurim, when the chatzanim and the zagan are aser, they're asur and afilu b'hana, they're going to be aser afilu b'hana. Kshem mutarim, when they are mutar, mutar and afilu b'achila, they're going to be mutar afilu b'achila. So again, according to Rav Meir, the chatzanim and the zagan are always aser b'achila, they're always aser b'hana. The chachamim said it depends. There's a chilik between lachim and yevashin. And what's the definition of lachim and yevashin? Lachim is yud beis chodesh. Yevashin is lacha yud beis chodesh. Says Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, that when we say lachem ar aser, it means that it's aser afilu ba'ano. And when we say yevashim is mutter, it means that they're going to be mutter afilu ba'achilo. Another halach. Amar Rav Zvid said, haidur daya dechamro da'armoy. As it relates to the sediment of the wine of the armoy, of the non-Jews. Basa treitz yarchi shasa, sorry, after 12 months, it's going to be mutter. So just like we said, the zagimen, the chartzanen, of the Oivdik Chavon Acha Yud Beis Chodesh, according to the Chachamim, they're considered Yevashim, at that point they're going to be Mutamuta Afilu B'Shtiyah, right? So too, as it relates to the sediment of the wine, that too, after 12 months, is going to be Mutar. Now, if you look at Rashi, the last Rashi on the Yomid, Rashi says, what does Durdaya mean? The way we teached it, Shmarim. That's what it means throughout Shas. Shmarim means sediment, right? The little wine sediment that you have sometimes on the bottom of a barrel. So that's what the taich of Durdaya is. It means shmorim. Tosfos, it's the bottom Tosfos on the Yomid as well, brings from Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam said, I think it's too big of a chiddush to say that if somebody would have just shmorim on the bottom of a barrel, and after 12 months, you're going to want to have enough from it, you're going to want to drink it, that's going to be okay. Absolutely not. It's a mefurish gemara. Rav Zvid Amir said it. Haidur daya dechamer darmoy, basa treisa yarchi shasa shari. So Rabbeinu Tam said, it's talking about something else. It's talking about where you have the sediment of wine, but you took the sediment of the wine, you poured wine on top of it, or you water on top of it, you soaked it in water to create some other form of wine. So One of the types of wines that are mentioned sometimes in the Gemara is something that's called temed. Temed was some inferior quality of wine, and it was made by pouring water over the sediment of the wine. So you don't want the sediment to go to waste. What they would do is they would pour water over it, they would create a wine, and this wine is shvacha wine. This is like ziburis ben benoy shel ziburis. But at the same time, this is something that people did. So it says Rabbeinu Tam, that when Reb Zvid said, Haider Dayer de Chamra, Basa Tresi Yarchashas Shari, he doesn't just mean the sediment. He means sediment that was already used in the preparation of Temed. That's already an Oiske Klapta sediment. Oh, that type of Shmarim is going to be Mutalacha Yud Beis Chodesh. But your good old fashioned sediment, said Rabbeinu Tam, that already is not going to be Mutar. Zokti Gemara, Omer Rav Chaviva Breder Rav. Chaviva Breder Rav Rava said, Hani Gulfi, Basar, Tresa, Yarcha, Shasa, Shari. As it relates to these different flasks and things that were used by the Ovdei Chachamim for their wine, once 12 months pass, at that point it's going to be mutter. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is, what do you mean? If you have noidos or kankanim shel Ovdei Chachamim, you have to kasher it. Milui ve'iroi, right? All the different forms of kashering that we saw in yesterday's daf. So what's this business that after 12 months it's going to be mutter? So that's his chiddush. His chiddush is that hani gufi basa Tresa, Yarcha, Shasa, Shari, even without kashering it. Now what's the makar to our Viva Breda Rava saying? It's what the Bnei Medrasha told Rabbi Akiva or Marukva when he came into the base medrash, and he said, you know, I was asked a question and it was a stumper. I didn't know the answer to it. Kankanim shalev de kechavim asurim ay mutarim. So what did they say? V'hilchas a kankanim shalev de kechavim la'acha yud beis chodesh mutarim. That's essentially what the Amoyer Rav Chaviva Breda Rava is saying. Amr Rav Chaviva. Rav Chaviva said, Hani afta de tayi basa treisa yarcha shasa shari. So what's an afta? So Rashi says it's a chamas or a chimas me'or av. It's some sort of canteen that was made from a thick type of leather. So the avto, the tayi, next Rashi, holche drachim, noise noisei, mole yayin lemerchik. The noise yayin, or the holche drachim, they used to put wine inside this chemas, and they would carry it with them when they had to travel a very far way. Vahave kemachnisei lekiyim, zak Rashi. So when a person puts wine in there, it's as if he was machnisei lekiyim. It's for that reason you need yud beis chaydish. No, Rashi is saying that the avto, the tayi, was this canteen that people used to use if they were traveling for a long way. So if you're traveling for a long way and you want to make sure you have wine accessible to you at all times, so they would use this after, this chimas, me'or av, this is where they would put their wine. The chiddush that Rav Chaviva is saying is that being that the wine was kept there for a long time, it's considered a davar that people are machnisoi v'kiyum. And what's talacha when it comes to yayin nesach and stam yeinan? Anytime you put something into a kelev and nevik echavim, where you machnas at lekiyum, so that's when you have all the problems. That's when you have the sugyas over here. If, however, you're not machnas at lekiyum, that was the Gemara and daf lamid gimel amid beis, where the Gemara told the story of Bei Parzik Rufila, right? And they said, it was Rav Yehuda. So Rav Chaviv is being mechadish is that this chemas is considered davar shemachnis lekiyum, and the reason because the whole chedrachim used to use it, and it's for that reason the halach is basa treisa yarchi shasa shari. And really, the way you have to read this is only after yud beis chodesh is going to be muta, but before yud beis chodesh, it's not going to be muta. Amar Rav Acha Breider Rav Ika. Rav Acha Breider Rav Ika said, "Hani purtzeni de armoi." The psoilus Rashi says of the anovim. Of the armoy, of this non-kosher wine, basa treisa yarcha shasa shari, after 12 months, is going to be mutter. What's the chiddush over here? The chiddush over here is that the psoilus of the wine, you would think, is something that's forever going to be aser. Kamash blood, it becomes mutter. And really, this is similar to the halacha of chartzanim and zagin. It's similar to the halacha of the shmarim, that there's an idea that some of these more inferior parts of the grapes, these inferior parts of the wine, so these things, once 12 months pass, at that point, they're already going to be mutter. And finally, Amar Rav Acha Breider Rav, Acha Breider Rav said, Hani gulfi, as it relates to these gulfi, these different jugs that were used for wine by the Ovdei Kechavim, shchimi v'uchmi, even if they're red or they're black, basa treisa yarcha shasa shari, once 12 months pass, at that point they are going to be mutter. What's the chiddush here? The chiddush is that you would think that if they're red and they're black, it looks like they've been used so much, so they're so eingesapt, right? Sometimes the wool smells, so sometimes mamish, the defanis are so saturated with this yayin esach, you would think that even 12 months is not going to help. Kamash malon, that basa treisa yarcha shasa shari, that even though there's so much l'chayre inside the walls, afilo hachi, when 12 months are going to pass, at that point it's going to be okay. So really, if you do a recap on this last Gemara, right, from the two dots that started 6 lines from the bottom of Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph, to the two dots that ended 5 lines from the top of Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis, what we had was a bunch of bullet points, a whole bunch of different memories from Amiram related to the sugya that we're learning. I think it's just kedai to chazer it very, very quickly. The first one was Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, who commented on the Mishnah. The Chacham in the Mishnah hold Chatzanim and Zagin, Lachin Asurim, Yevashin Mutarim. What's the definition of Lachin and Yevashin? So we have an Amira. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, it's not feel it, but rather the first Yud Beis Chodesh, we say they're considered Lachin. After Yud Beis Chodesh, it's not the grapes anymore, it's not wine anymore, it's like wood. It's nothing, it's Ofer, it's Efer. And at that point, it has no Chashivas. The second memory that we had was from Rabbi Bar Bar Chana in the name of the great Rabbi Yochanan, who said that according to the Chachamim, that Yevashim, Chatzanim Zagin Yevashim Amutter, it's not only Mutter be Hano, but it's even Mutter be Achila, because again, it's nothing. We don't even view it as grapes, we view it as nothing. And it's for that reason, if you want to eat it, this is something you'd be able to eat as well. The third memory we had was from Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid said the sediment of wine of Ovdi Kechavim, Basel Trace Yachi Shasi Shari, seemingly Machlekes Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi just says Shmarim, it sounds like all Shmarim are going to be Mutter. Rabbeinu Tam said only when it was used already in the preparation of Temet. We had Rav Chaviva Berei de Rava that said that all different kankanim and things of Ovdi Kechavim that were used for wine, once 12 months pass, at that point already it's going to be mutter, even without kashering it. We had Rav Chaviva that said the canteen that's used by the Holchei Drachim, they travel for a long time, that's a problem. That falls into the Mishnah Chav Tesam Ebeiz of Noidois Shalev de Kechavim and Kankanim Shalev de Kechavim. And the Chiddush is the Havik Machnis Elikim, being that it's used for long term traveling. So we look at it as a Davash Machnis Elikim, any Davash Machnis Elikim is subject to the law of the Mishnah. We had Rav Acha Brei de Ravika, another Amora, who said that the psoilus of the Anavim is like the Chatzanim, it's like the Zagim, it's like the Shmorim, where the Halacha is that for 12 months it's a problem, but Basa Treisa Yarcha Shasa, once 12 months pass, at that point it's going to be okay. And finally we had Rav Acha Brei de Rava, another Amora, who said that if somebody has Gulfi of Ovdi Kechavim, and they're already red and they're black, and it looks like there's so much wine that this was used with, so you would think the walls are so engazapped, it doesn't matter. Basa Treisa Yarcha Shasi, once 12 months pass, it's already going to be mutter. One theme that goes through all these different members of the Amiram is this idea of 12 months. So Treisa Yarcha Shasi, 12 months is a magic number when it comes to different types of kulas in the world of Stam Yenam. Zokta Gemara Vaitas. Returning to the Mishnah. So again, the Mishnah was going through different things that are aser because they're dvarim shalev de kechavim, and not only are they aser, but they're aser behana. The next line item is hamurias ugvinas beis unaiki shalev de kechavim. So here we actually have two that are lumped together, which is a little tzarech bir. But what are the two? The first one is murias, and the second one is gvinas beis unaiki. So murias first, gvinas beis unaiki second. What is murias? So Rashi in the Mishnah said that murias is shuman shel dagim. It's the fat of fish. We'll see when we learn this Gemara now that the murias was made by taking the innards of the fish and mixing it with a whole bunch of different ingredients. So yeah, it's shumin shaldagin, but it's a little more complex than that. Additionally, it seems that there was a minig that people would pour a little bit of wine into their murias. This is the way it was. And it's for that reason Murias makes it into our Mishnah. Meaning, the reason Murias is dvarim shalev de kechavim that's going to be problematic, like, why should it be an issue? All it is fish. The answer is because there was a little bit of wine that was mixed into it, and because there was a little bit of wine mixed into it, it's the wine that causes the problem. Now Rashi here on Lamed Aleph Mebeis asks an obvious question. Murias is only a problem in the sugya because of the wine? Murias should be a problem because the fish has to be kosher, right? Fish could be kosher and not kosher, shenema. So what do you mean that this is only a problem because of the wine? Typically, because of the fish. So Rashi says, chiddush to me, obviously if we were there, it wouldn't be a chiddush, that Murias lay avdi midogim tmeim. No one ever made Murias, right? You ever make a filter fish from a non-kosher fish? No one ever made Murias from a non-kosher fish. So Murias was considered by definition kosher. This is the way it was. The only problem would be that there might be some yaya mixed into it, and it's because of that it makes it into our Mishnah. So now, essentially what our Mishnah is saying is, Murias is aser v'isurim misra'ana, which certainly sounds like that means that Murius has wine mixed into it, and it's for that reason this is going to be a problem. Stating that, the Gemara begins with a brayso. Tana Rabbanan, Murius umman mutter. The Murius that you buy from a professional is going to be mutter. Now, what would be the difference between a Murius that you buy from a professional versus, by the way, what? Versus Murius that you buy from Balabas. So your neighbor has a stand where he's selling Murius. Next is lemonade. You want to buy that Murius? That's a problem. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. But if you go to an Umman, someone who does this in some professional capacity, and you want to buy Murius from him, in that instance, it's going to be okay. The reason, says Rashi, is because what's the problem with Murius? It's not inherently a problem. It's because they used to mix wine. The Umman didn't mix any wine. Now, why didn't the Umman mix wine? So Rashi says because the Murius had so much fat in it. There was so much shumen from the dagen. And if you would mix it together with wine, it would be mekalkalit. So the Balabayas is not so sensitive to this. But the Umman, right, he's protecting a business. He's protecting a brand. So he's way more sensitive. He wants to make sure the product is going to be perfection. So it's for that reason he would never mix wine. And the Umdana that he wouldn't mix wine is so stark that if you want to buy mutter, it's not an issue. Peter Ben Gamliel, Reb Ben Gamliel said, "Shum Reb Chaim Ben Gamliel, Reb Chaim Ben Gamliel, Af Chilek Umin Mutter." That Chilek of an Umin is also something that is mutter. So chilek, Rashi says, is also a type of fish. So this was a very, very small fish. And when the fisherman would catch the chilek, so very often, together with the chilek, he would also get different types of fishes. And what happens is, if you go to your neighbor and he wants to offer you a little bit of chilek, which is kosher, you have to be chayish that maybe when he caught the chilek, there was some other fish there next to it, and they all got mixed together, and when he put it through the grinder or whatever it is, so now all of a sudden you're eating a little bit of non-kosher fish, and it's for that reason it's off limits. Stating that, the Tanam said that if you want to buy chilek from the Umman, that's already okay, because the Umman is going to be very, very careful. He doesn't want to mix this other fish together with this. It's going to mess up the business that he has, and it's for that reason there's such a strong Umdana that if you want to buy chilek from an Oivik Yechavim, it's something that's going to be okay. Tanav him ibrei drabavo, Avimi Breid Ravo had a brisa that said as follows, Murius Umin Mutter. That Murius of an Umin is Mutter, which we already knew. We just had that brisa. Murius Umin Mutter. But who Tani Lavu Amala? But he added to the brisa. That's why we're bringing this. And that is Pan Rishon Visheni Mutter, Shlishi Yasser. It's only going to be Mutter the first two times. The third time already, it's going to be a problem. So if you look at Rashi, Pam Rishon V'Sheni, Rashi shares with us the Metzius over here. Shekein darka nois n'mayim u'melach al shumen hadogin u'maitzetze shumloi. So the way they used to make Murius is they would add water and salt on top of the shumen of the dogin, and it would cause all the shumen to come out. U'kishekolois chayzev nois n'achem. But they would rinse and repeat. So they would do it once, and then again they would pour water and salt over the shumen, and then they would do it a third time. So said, avimi brei d'rabavo, that this that was saying that Murius of the Umin is going to be mutter. Why? Because it's an Umdana that he's not mixing any wine. That's the first two times. The first two times, this Umdana is very strong. We assume he's not mixing any wine. But the third time already, we could assume he's mixing wine. And what's the Svara? So Rashi earlier, it's the same Rashi we mentioned a moment ago, explains it. He said, because why do we say that the Umin is not going to mix any wine? Because the Umin, the wine doesn't mix well, doesn't blend well with the shumen. When there's a lot of shumen, it doesn't blend well. But by the time you're up to the third production, so at that point, there's not so much shumen anymore. So now the wine actually doesn't contradict so much the shumen. And for that reason, now there is a chashi is going to use wine. At that point, it's going to be a problem. Says the Gemara, really says this. My time upon Rishon V'Sheni, the nafesh shumnayu, where the shumen is very intense. Leitzarich lemir mibuhu chamra. There's no point in putting wine. It's more than just leitzarich, like Rashi says. It's counterproductive. Nikan ve'elach. But now that there's not so shumen anymore, ramu buchamra. At this point, we are concerned that maybe he put wine because it would make sense for him to put wine. I mean, he's only not putting wine. Avifel, it's going to hurt it at some point. It's going to take away from the taste. That comes from the fact that there's nafesh shumnayu. There's a lot of shumen. But once you're ready, you are up to the third rendition of this. There's not so much shumen. At that point, there is a concern that he's going to put wine. Says the Gemara. Ahu arba de muryasa de asilin emela de akra. There was a ship. Ahu arba. Right? This is of Cheskes Abatim fame. There was a ship that was carrying Murius that arrived at the port of Akko. Oysev Rab Abedim and Akko, Naturi Badas. Rab Abedim and Akko was the Mardasr of Akko, and he appointed a Shomer to watch the Murius. Now, what was he watching it from? He wanted to make sure nobody's going to mix any wines like this. The Jews will be able to buy, right? The Murius is inherently kosher. The only chash is if you mix wine in it, then it becomes a problem. So Rav Abba de Menachu is Meman HaShoymer. The Shoymer is going to make sure that there's not going to be anything there. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rava. So Rava told Rav Abba de Menachu, Ado idna man natro. I said, you're pointing a Shoymer right now. I hear it's very nice that Mikanu Lahabi, you're going to have a Shoymer. But heretofore, right? Up until this point, who was watching it? This just came from a faraway land. How do you know nobody mixed wine until that point? Amalei, so he told him like this, Ado idna lamai nechashlo. What should I be worried about may have happened up until this point? Is it the chashash of our Mishnah that maybe who, wherever this came from, in that Medina, they mixed a little bit of wine. So he told him like this, I know the Medina that it came from. And in that Medina, Kista de Murius, or Kista Rashi says is just a certain measurement. What exactly it is, Rashi doesn't say, and it's not important. Kista de Murius Baluma, a Kista size of Murius, cost a luma. Rashi says luma is a fancy way of saying a zuz. And kista de chamra, a kista, the same shear of wine, is bedala lumi, costs four times as much. The point is, wine in that Medina is way more expensive than Murius. And there's no way a person's going to take his expensive wine and use it for his billiger Murius, because he's devaluing his wine in a tremendous way. There's no way he would ever do it. So that's a starko umdana. By the way, you see the umdanas as relates to Yeridei and Kashrus jumping off the page, right? Every Gemara that we're learning. This is a very strong umdana. Did anyone see it? Do you know for a fact? You have Edim? You don't need Edim, right? The point is that this is a very, very strong umdana. And because it's a very strong umdana, I'm comfortable that there's no wine. Now, there were places, apparently, where wine was less valuable than Murius. And in those places, it's a chashash, maybe you're ma'ariv yayin. But over here, it's actually the other way. He says, I know the Medina that it came from, and it's for that reason I'm not concerned. So the Gemara says, I'm the Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Rabbi Zeir. Rabbi Yirmiyah told Rabbi Zeir, he knew about this whole shayla. And he said, Duma aydi ditzur asu. Maybe when this ship came from this faraway land, from Medina Sayyab, Teretz Yisrael, maybe it passed through the city, the land of Tzor, the Shavi Chamra, where wine is very cheap. So this is a Kolema Rashi, right? You see the words, the Shavi Chamra, what do you think? Without looking in Rashi, you would say, oh, the Shavi Chamra, where it's very expensive. No, Shavi actually over here means very cheap. That's why it's a little bit of a Kolema. But either way, Shayayim Bezal, the wine over there is very cheap, and maybe they did it there. Amaleis, they told him, Hasam there, one of our favorite phrases, Ikuli Upshuri Iko. Over there, there's Ikuli Upshuri. There's no way this ship went derech Tzur, because there's too many Ikuli Upshuri. So we always say this word. I'm not sure we know what it means. So what exactly does Ikuli Upshuri mean? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Ikuli means Mayim Shahochen Akalsoin. It's Miloshin, like Tzirik Tzvegs, right? Sideways on a slant. That's what the word Ikuli means. So the water over there, there's waves there. It's not so safe to be out in the ocean in those waters. As it relates to Pshuri, so Rashi says, Meshlogin, right, snow, Nifsharin al Sfas HaMayim. So Pshuri is Milashin Nifsharin, like melting. The snow melts over there, and again, it could be very, very dangerous. But the bottom line is, it's a Kuli Pshur over there. So again, there's an umdana that from the land that the Murius came from, for sure they didn't put any wine, because the wine is so much more expensive than the Murius. Nobody would take a good bottle of wine and pour it into his herring. It doesn't make any sense. As it relates to maybe they went derech tzur, they didn't go derech tzur because it's a kuli ipshuri. So based on all these umdinas, he said, I'm confident that there was no wine put into it up until this point. Now, mikan ve'elach, now you're in Eretz Yisrael. It seems wine was cheap in Eretz Yisrael. So now in Akko, I'm already worried. So that's why Rabbi Abba Dimin Akko, he appointed a shomer to make sure that everything is going to be protected. The Mishnah continued and said, Ugvinas beis unaiki. So we had Murius and Gvinas beis unaiki, same exact halacha. They're aser, the isurun iser hana. By the way, that's only shittas rameir. The chacham said, any isurun iser hana, that really it's not going to be aser hana. So these two things come together as a tag team. You have Murius and you have Gvinas beis unaiki. So let's just take a step back for a second. What's the problem with Gvinas beis unaiki? And really, the truth is, the bigger question is, Gvinas akum bechlal. What's the halacha of Gvinas akum? So Gvinas akum, we know, is not kosher, right? You can't buy non-kosher cheese. Gvinas akum is a problem. The reason Gvinas akum is a problem, and really it's unique in the sugyas of chalav akum, it's because the way that Gvina was made was they used to take the keva, which is one of the stomachs of an animal, they would put it into the cheese, and it was part of the cheesemaking process. So one of the things that were used was the keva of an animal. And because a kava of an animal, a non-kosher animal, was used in the cheese-making process, so we assume there's a little bit of that non-kosher animal. Now, a non-kosher animal, as it relates to the meat of the animal, is what we know as nevela. Nevela is also ba'achila, but it's mutar ba'anah. And if that's the case, it wouldn't make it into this part of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah is talking about elu dvarim, shalev dekechavim, that are yisurim v'yisurim iser hanah. If it's also ba'anah, it means that the issue has to be more than just nevela, because nevela itself is not also ba'anah. The answer is, there is another problem. The problem is that we're concerned here that the keva that was used was keva of an animal that was shachal avodah zarah. And if it's keva of an animal that was used for avodah zarah, to krevis of avodah zarah is asa ba'anah. So now the gvina gets upgraded from simply being asa ba'achila because of a chshash nevela, now all of a sudden it becomes even asa ba'anah because of a chshash of the krevis of avodah zarah. And really that's what was unique about Beisu Naiki. In Beisu Naiki, the Gemara is going to say in a minute, they used to shech their agolim la'avodah zarah. So over there there's a chshash not only of nevela, that's something you have by all gvina sakim, but here there's also a chshash of the krevis of avodah zarah. What's the naf gemina? Nevela is asa ba'achila, the krevis of avodah zarah is asa ba'anah. That's what's going on in this part of the Mishnah. So again, gvina Beisu Naiki, according to Reb Meir, is asa ba'achila, asa ba'anah. According to Chachamim, it's only asa ba'achila. Amar Reb Shimon ben Lakshmi, ma asru gvinas unaiki. What's the difference between gvinas unaiki and between all other gvinas? So said Reb Shimon ben Lakshmi, they should rave agolim shalois in the shchatan lavidis kachamim. It's because most of the agolim in the city of unaiki, they used to shech lavidis zar. So if most were shech lavidis zar, so you have to go basura. If achri rabba mahata is zil basaruba, and therefore you assume now that the keva of the animal that was used in this cheese making process wasn't just nevela, which is asa ba'achila. It was avodah zarah, which is asa ba'anah. It's for that reason, Gvinas Beisu Naiki becomes asa ba'anah. But the Gemara asks a geshmak akash. The Gemara throws us back into real Nashim Nezikin for a moment. And that is my ear, Yeroi Vagolim. Why did Rav Shimon ben Lakish have to say, to explain the Mishnah Gvinas Beisu Naiki, that the reason it's asa ba'anah is because Roiv of the Agolim was shachar la'avodah zarah. Afilu miyot nami. Even if it would only be a miyot, the halacha would be the same. Because who's the Tana in the Mishnah? Who's the one that said Gvinas Beisu Naiki is asa ba'anah? It's Rav Meir. And everybody knows that Rav Meir is Chayesh Lemiyuta. It's Rav Meir Shita. So even if it would only be a miyut, and you wouldn't have a Zilbasser, you wouldn't have an Achir Rabba Lahatlis. But Rav Meir is always Chayesh for the miyut. So why did Rish Lakish have to say Mipnei Sheroiv Agol Mishalois in the Shchat Lavi Dazar? It sounds like it's based on a Roiv. We're going Shita's Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds that even if you don't have a Roiv, even if you have a miyut, we're always Chayesh Lemiyuta. So the Gemara says a Gishmaketar. It's Roiv. Bishloim, if you would tell me there's a Roiv, like Rish Lakish said, then I understand that Iku miyut. Then you would end up with a miyut. Meaning, if Roiv of the Agolim was Shachut, La'avodah zarah, then you'll have that a miyut of the animals was Shachut, La'avodah zarah. It's a little tricky, right? What did Rav Shimon ben Lakish say? Roiv of the Agolim, an eagle is a calf, right? Roiv of the Agolim were used for La'avodah zarah. Only the Agolim? And only Roiv of the Agolim. What about all the animals? What about the goats? What about all the other animals on the farm? No, those weren't Shachat L'Avodah Zarah, necessarily. It's Roiv of the Agolim. So if you have Roiv of the Agolim, even though an eagle is only one type of animal, and Mehecha Tasty in the process of making this Gvinas Beisu Naiki, they used an eagle. But if it's Roiv of the Agolim, then that would at least establish an overall myth, meaning you take the golem, you take the goats, you take the shepsalach, you take all the different animals, and you line up all the possibilities. You'll say the sheep, no, the goats, no. Egel, roiv, right? The larger cows, maybe not. Then you're going to end up with a myth. And being there a mayor is chayish l'miyuta, you're going to end up having a problem. Now, amrit miyut, but if you're going to tell me that even the agolim alone, it's only a miyut of the agolim, then kiven the ikur reiv agolim, the inish chotim lavidis kechavim, mean that I have a reiv of the agolim that are not shachal lavidis kechavim, if that's the mitzias, vikanami shar behem is the inish chotim lavidis kechavim, and I have all the other animals on the farm that are not shachal lavidis kechavim. So, havale, what you would have then is that the miyut of agolim is not just a miyut, it's a miyuta de miyuta, miyuta de miyuta le chayish l'mey, even though a mayor is chayish l'miyuta, but miyuta de miyuta. Now, right, everyone knows this from Gittin Daf Beis, but this is Shitas Rameh. That Rameh, although he's Chayish Lemiyuta, but when it comes to Miyuta de Miyuta, then already not. The point is, it's only because you have Roiv Agolim that you end up with a proper Miyut. But if it was Miyut of Agolim, then it would actually be a Miyuta de Miyuta. One more Gemara. Amale Rab Shimon Bar El Yakum. The Rab Shimon Ben Lakish. So Rab Shimon Ben Yakum asked Rab Shimon Ben Lakish, Kin Dishchatam Lavaydis Kechavim Mai Hafa. So Rish Lakish, I understand the issue of Gvinas Beisu Naiki. Gvinas Beisu Naiki is a problem. Why? It's a problem because of the fact that Reiv Agolim Shalaisa Ir Nishchatim Avedis Kechavim, right? Most of the Agolim was Shachot Lavedizar. Who cares? Va'at Hu Deshari. You yourself hold that if somebody shechts an animal, Lavedizar, that in and of itself is not a problem. And what's the makar to this? The Itmar we learned, and this is a real Kachem Alocha. Hashaychet is a behemoth. This is a Gdom Lavedis Kechavim. If somebody shechts a behemoth with the express intent of doing a zrika with the dam, lavidazara, or lahakter chelb lavidazkechavim, or to take the chelb of the animal and to be makter lavidazkechavim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asura. Rabbi Yochanan holds this is asur. This is now to crave as avidazara. Kosavra, because he holds mechashvim meavidah lavidah. Meaning, what happened over here was the person shechted the animal. Not lavidazara. He shechted the animal with the intention of doing the zrika or the haktar lavidazara. That is considered a maisa of avodah zarah, and it's for that reason asura. This thing now is going to be aser. Now, what's the makar to this? V'alfinon chutz mipnim. It's because we learn shchitas avodah zarah from shchita and avodas that were done in the Beis Hamikdash. In the Beis Hamikdash, there's a concept where a person could do an avodah, and he's doing the avodah with the right machshava. But while he does that avodah, he has in mind to do a different avodah in the wrong way. That in itself could be a problem. And really, exhibit A, and this is what Rashi says, is if somebody does a shchita of a carbon, and he has in mind to do the zrika, which is another one of the avodas, chutzas mare, chutzam koin. That is a regular machsheves pigel, right? It's not the most classic machsheves pigel. The classic machsheves pigel is to eat the basar or to be makted the emurim, chutzas mare, chutzam koin. But if someone is mechashiv to do a zrika, chutzas mare, chutzam koin, that two is a problem. What do you see from there? There's a concept, there's an idea of mechaj me'avodah l'avodah. Now that's true b'fnim. That's true inside. Inside what? Inside the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan holds that yalfinu chutz mipnim, and just like mechaj me'avodah l'avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, so too there's an idea that if somebody would do the shchit amanas lizrik domo or lahak techelbo l'avodah zara, that would be considered a shchit l'avodah zara. Rabbi Shimon Lakish amas, this is all Rabbi Yochanan. Shimon Lakish said, no, muteres, that if somebody was shchit lizrik domo l'avodah z'kechavim, it's going to be mutter. So what was the kasha? Rabbi Shimon bar Yochum asked Rabbi Shimon bar Lakish, according to Rish Lakish, who cares that the person shechted al avodah zarah? When he shechted al avodah zarah, what did he probably do? He probably shechted it amanas to do something else al avodah zarah. Now, Bishlam, according to your Baal Plukta, your Greiser Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, I understand that would be a problem. So Rabbi Yochanan was mechashu avodah avodah afinu chutz mitvim. But you, Lishitasa, who holds loy afinu chutz mitvim, and you hold that the halacha is that you can't be mechashev me avoido la avoido. Well, if that's the case, so what's the problem over here? Gvinas Beisu Nike is a problem. Why? Gvinas Beisu Nike is a problem because they used the shech roiv of the agolim, which would create a mit. La avoido zara. Who cares that they used the shech to la avoido zara? Aren't they probably shechting it almenas to do a different avoido la avoido zara? And you Rish Lakish, that's not a problem. So what's Rish Lakish's answer going to be? It's the most obvious answer in the world. Amalei say told it back. Tarminach shaitech. Rashi says, you're a mazlach. I hope your mazl steigs at some point. And at some point, you have the good fortune to come up with a good kasha. But this is not it. You know why? Because Baimig Mazvich, maybe he's talking about with a person. That's what they used to do in Beis Unai. Maybe they used to shech la avodah zara. If they shech la avodah zara, of course it's the kravish la avodah zara. Who said it's talking about when you did the shechit amanas to do the zrika la avodah zara? Maybe it's talking about when you did the shechit amanas to do the shechit la avodah zara. Tosfos jumps on the Gemara. Tosfos says, "Udakarila, makarila. What's Pashim Shah? What was Rishon ben Eliyakim's Havamina? Where did he see in the words from Rish Lakish? Mepnei ma asur gvinus unaiki mepnei sheroi vagal b'shalois in the shchatim lavaydas kechavim." Okay, maybe it means the shchita was done lavaydas zar. Shchita al menas telling the machlis rabeichem Rish Lakish mechaz me avaydas. Some big longish sugya in the first paragraph of Zvachim. Mechtesi, what does have to do with who said that would be the case? So Tosfos says a geshmak azach. Tosfos says that being that the ikar of the shchita is really for the dam and it's for the chelev, so the assumption kilu is that the shchita was probably not done l'avodah zarah. Why is this kishmak? Because we know kachem 101 is that shchita l'avodah. Even b'fnim shchita was not really an avodah, right? Shchita is k'sher bizarre. Shailov shchita needs a klishare, big dekuna, etc., etc. But shchita is for sure k'sher bizarre because shchita l'avodah. So there was this idea even amongst the Eivdei Kichavim, they understood that the shchita itself is not such a big deal. And being that it's not such a big deal, the havamina was that you probably didn't shecht l'avodah zarah. Shchita is just the machsher, right? You shecht chulin to be machsher the animal, l'achila. You shecht kachim, Rachmana litzlan. But it's all to get the dam. It's all to get the chalif. So the thought process was that when he shecht l'avidazar, it's not pshat, he wants the shechita to be the avida. He's serving the getchka with the shechita. He's having in mind through the shechita that now this animal will be used l'avidazar. Well, that's totally machlokes Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish. Is that a problem or is that not a problem? If the shechita is being done for the avidazar, so then for sure we have a problem. That's what Shem Bal Yochum thought, and Rish Lakish told him, hopefully your mazel steigs, tarminach shaitach, your mazel sakrashi, because I don't think it's a good sushta. Just one ha'ara before we start the raid, and that is this last lashon over here of tarminach shaitach, your mazel. Hopefully your mazel will steig a little bit to ask a good kasha. What came to mind is a Gemara Masechtas Bava Basra, Daf Yud Beis Amaral. This Gemara is a classic. The Gemara Badira says that me shechara beis hamikdash afal pichin nitla nevuah mina neviim, but mina chachamim loy nitla, right? Mina chachamim, mina shoytim, mina tinoikis. That's the sugi over there in the first parak of Masechtas Bava Basra. But either way, as it relates to chachamim, afal pichin nitla mina neviim, mina chachamim loy nitla. So the Gemara is trying to figure out how you know this. So Rava said, "Teida, I'll prove it to you." The Amar Gavir Rabbi Milsa, because sometimes you find the Gavir Rabbi says something, umis amra mishmed Rabbi Akiva by Yosef Kavase, and you find out later that he was mechavin to the great Rabbi Akiva. Now, how can you be mechavin to the great Rabbi Akiva? It's impossible. Must be nevuah. So you see clearly the musig of nevuah amongst the chacham beis medrash. You're gonna see prophecy. This is what Rava said. I'm Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said, "Oh my kushio, dilmulaham milsa bar maslehu." He says maybe they have the same mazel. And this chacham who asked this kasha, the Rabbi Akiva, right? Today we'd say Rabbi Akiva Eger, right? But this kasha that this person was mechavet, he was mechavet Rabbi Akiva, he was mechavet Rabbi Akiva Eger. Maybe he has the same mazel v'yeh. And because he has the same mazel, so you see to ask a good kasha is a milsa tali b'mas before shagamar. This is what Rish Lakish told him. Tarminoch shaitech, you're a mazlech. It's a thing that I get the kasha. This is one of the dvurim that is poly of a mazel. Either way, returning to Amid Aleph. And that is, the Gemara began, Rabbi Akiva, or Rashi's Gersa in the first parak of Masechtas Tainus, is Mar Ukfa Iklu Leginzak. And Bo Mine, they asked him three questions. Misanim L'shoyz, Ei Misanim L'shoyz. Can kanim shalev de kechavim asurim oy mutarim, and bameshi meish moisha kol shivis imei amaluim. The Gemara says that he didn't know the answer to any one of the three. When he came back to the Beis Medrash, so he asked the oilam hayeshiva, and they told him, as it relates to misana l'shoyis, hilchas misana l'shoyis. Not just that, you could even say tfilas anenu. Can kanim shalev de kechavim, no way in the world. In fact, it's enough in a Mishnah. Then already it's going to be mutter. And as it relates to Bamesh Shimesh Moshe Shivis Imei Amaluim, the answer is he wore a chaluk lavan. Rav Kahana added to that it was a chaluk lavan. She'ein boy Imra. Rashi says that the reason the Chevra in Ginzak, and really Rabbi Akiva, or Marukah for that matter, were a little bit unsure of Bamesh Shimesh Moshe during the Shivas Yemei Amaluim is because they were confident, l'chayra, that he didn't wear the regular Big Day Kohuna. Meaning, if somebody asked you, Moshe Rabbeinu did the Avoida during the Shivas Yemei Amaluim, which begotim did he wear? I would say he probably wore the Big Day Kohuna. I don't know. If he brought the carbon tumin and, you know, he did everything that was done in the Beis HaMikdash, so why would you think that the begotim that he wore were any different, right? What's really the Shaila? And you see, Rabbi Akiva, Marukfa, I'm not sure what the answer is. L'chayra, it's so obvious. They wore Big Day Kohuna. So Rashi says, I'll tell you why. Because the Pasuk says, V'asisa Big Day Kodesh, le'aharu nochicha, l'chavoyt u'lesifares. And it sounds a little bit from this Pasuk that Big Day Kodesh adafka le'aharu nochicha. It's meant dafka for the Kayanim. And me, the Moshe Rabbeinu is not a Kayan. So it's for that reason, it's a little bit unclear what Moshe Rabbeinu wore. And the maskana was that what he wore was a chaluk lavan. Tosfos dibra mascha bamesh shimesh moisha kol shivis imei amaluim starts with Rashi, and Tosfos says that I have a little bit of a problem. And really, the hakdama to this problem is a gemara masechta zvachim daf kuf aleph on the days, and I think it's kedai to go through a few lines of this gemara. The gemara says as follows. I'm going to skip around a little bit. Amar Rav. Rav said Moshe Rabbeinu koyin gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol. V'cholik b'kotshei shemayim hoy. Not only was a Kohen Gadol, but he used to partake in the kotshei shemayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu is a Kohen Gadol, and he used to partake in the kotshei shemayim. Shenemar, the pasuk says, v'yikach Moshe es hechoze, dat 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 me'el hamiluim l'moshe ha'ilamanu. Oh, me'el hamiluim l'moshe ha'ilamanu. So you see that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to get a chiv. And the Gemara heard what Rav said, and the Gemara jumped on Rav. The Gemara said, what? You mean to tell me that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol? I have 17 braises that make absolutely no sense. Not mamish, but a lot of braises. If you're going to tell me that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol. So it's a machlokes in the Gemara. Was Moshe Rabbeinu a Kohen Gadol, or was Moshe Rabbeinu not a Kohen Gadol? So let's go back now to Tosis and Avodah Zarah. Rashi said that the reason the Olam came and asked Rabbi Akiva or Mar Ukva this question, it was based on the fact that the pasuk says, "Vasisa bigdei kodesh la'aharin achicha l'chavaydu l'sefaris," and the pasuk seems to be saying that the bigdei kodesh is meant for who? It's meant dafka for aharin. So if Moshe Rabbeinu was doing the avodah, how's he supposed to do the avodah? It's a freitos agashmak akash. According to the mandam that holds, Moshe Rabbeinu was a kohen gadol. So Moshe Rabbeinu was a kohen gadol. That means he did the avodah. Presumably, not just during the Shivas Yimei Amaluim. If he did the Avodah not only during the Shivas Yimei Amaluim, then L'chayra Yesh Lachgar the same exact question. When he did the Avodah during that Kufa, how did he do the Avodah? Did he do the Avodah with what Pagodim? Meaning, if you're going to tell me that the reason we're mistopic, how Moshe Rabbeinu did the Avodah during the Shivas Yimei Amaluim, is because he couldn't use the Big Day Kuna, because the Big Day Kuna is Yuchis to who? It's meant Davka for Aharon Uvanov. Well, if that's the case, you have the same exact problem for the 40 years in the Midbar when Moshe Rabbeinu did the Avodah. So if Moshe Rabbeinu is doing the Avodah now for 40 years in the Midbar, what clothing is he wearing? Now, you'll tell me the Big Day Kuna? Vasisa bigdei kodesh laharin achicha. So if the question is based on this pasuk, vasisa bigdei kodesh laharin achicha, Freit Toises, why is it only a question regarding the Shivas Yimei Amaluim? It should be a question regarding the 40 years in the Midbar. Lamanda Amar that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol and he did the Avodah for the 40 years that he was in the Midbar. So because of this, Toises says, different pshatim in why there was a shayla by meshi mishmoish b'shivas me'amaluim. It can't be because of the pasuk v'asisa b'gdei kodesh laharon achicha, because then this question would be a much more global question. You'd have the same question, not just for the 7 days, you'd have a question for the entire term. Right? Why are we picking on the 7 days? How did Moshe ever do the avodah? The man that Moshe Rabbeinu was a kohen gadol. Elamite, there's something unique about these 7 days. What's unique about these 7 days? Tosfos has two suggestions. One suggestion he says is, could be there was no big day kuna yet. Could be the big day kuna didn't happen until after the 7 days. If there's no big day kuna, so how did he do the avodah? He couldn't have worn the big day kuna. He doesn't have the big day kuna. After the 7 days, of course he wore the big day kuna. Tosfos brings from the Rimei or Lainish, a very famous chiddush, and that is that when Moshe Rabbeinu did the avodah during the Shivas Yimei Amaluim, the Mishkan didn't have a din Mishkan, had a din Bama. And by Bama, there was no halacha of Big Day Kuna. And it's for that reason the Gemara is mistopic by Meshi Mish Moshe. But the bottom line is this is the Machlokes Rashi Tosfos over here in our Gemara. What's underpinning the question about Meshi Mish Moshe? According to Rashi, it's a pasuk. V'asisa Big Day Kodesh, Tafka Laharon Ochicha. Tosfos says, if that's the case, the question is not only Shivas Me'amalum. The question is any time Moshe Rabbeinu did the Avodah. And we know there's a man Domin Zvachim that holds that Moshe Rabbeinu used to often do the Avodah. So Tosfos says one or two reasons. Either it's based on the fact that there was no Big Day Kuna during the Shivas Me'amaluim, or from the Meir Lainish, who said that the Mishkan during the Shivas Me'amaluim had a din of a Bama. If it had a din of a Bama, at that point, there's really no Big Day Kuna. So as it relates to this idea that Moshe Rabbeinu was maybe a Kohen Gadol, and if Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol, so he has the right, he has the license to maybe do the Avodah, I saw in the Keren Orah, in Masechta Zvachim Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, on that Gemara right there, he asks a Ha'ara. The Gemara began, Amar Rav, Moshe Rabbeinu Kohen Gadol Haya, V'choylik B'kotshei Shemayim. Frank the Keren Ayra, Yesh L'daktek, Minolei the Kohen Gadol Haya. How do you know that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol? Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu, not just Kohen Haya, Kohen Gadol Haya. And he says, Nehi the Alfina Mihai Kra, the Hoya Oichel B'Kotshei Shemayim. And even though there's a Makar from the Pasuk that Rab brought, that he used to eat Kotshei Shemayim, Avo Koyin Gadol Minale. How do you know that he used to eat Koyin Gadol? V'chein B'Parshin Emar Kol Avoidas Koyin Gadol Aharon Levad. Right, and really all the halachas of Koyin Gadol, it's always talking to Aharon. So Freit, the Keren Oira, I understand Rav as a makor that he used to maybe eat kachay shemayim, but a kohen's allowed to eat kachay shemayim. How do you know that he was a kohen gadol? The Yishloimah says the Kerenoira. The misvara oimrakein. That the Rav thinks it in svara. Because kivin the bezayin yimei amaluim hoyim moishra meshamish levad. Because being that during the zayin yimei amaluim, Moish Rabbeinu was being meshamish by himself, mistabro shalo yorad mi malosai. It's mistaber that he didn't lose his milo. Meaning, if Moshe Rabbeinu during the Shivas Me'amalum is the only one doing the Avodah, so he's the proverbial Kohen Gadol. And it's mistaber that he wouldn't have lost his Madrega once other Kayanim started doing the Avodah. U'bertsoinoi hayotaloi. And it's mistaber that really was all up to him. Im hayotsoinoi hayoyachal shamish b'kulin gedoylo kol mem shana b'ches b'gadol. And really, if he wanted, he could have been mishamish b'kulin gedoylo for the entire 40 years. Elam yishum de tarut b'shchina, but being that he was tarut b'shchina, and really the makar to that line is from the sugya there on Daf Kofal from the base, he niach laharin hakuna gedoylo. He left the kuna gedoylo for aharon hakohen. In other words, says the Kerner, you want to know how Rav knew he was a Kohen Gadol? Because for 7 days, he's the only one doing the Avodah. You're going to tell me he lost his Madregas? It's Pasha to me he's the Kohen Gadol. Aye, if that's the case, how come he's never doing the Avodah? How come you don't find it anywhere? Says the Kerner, that's out of his own volition. It's a personal decision that he made. If he wanted, he could have done the Avodah for 40 years. Because he's busy with the Shechina, like the Gemara says. It's for that reason he left the Kuna Gedoyla to Aharon. Ki Mailas Moshe says the Kerenoyer Hayyoyse Gedoyla. The Moshe Rabbeinu's Madrega is aggressive Madrega from Aharon. Ki Mavur B'divrei Azayra Kodesh. Moshe Shushbina de Malka V'chulu. The Kolshken Shloy Nigra Me'itay Mailas Aharon Gankin. It can't be that he doesn't have the Mail of Aharon HaKoyin. Kerenoyer is saying, Adover Nifla, the Kerenoyer is saying, that I think that Rav holds Moshe Rabbeinu was a real Kohen Gadol. And really, if Moshe Rabbeinu wanted, he could have done the Avodah every day. But he didn't do it. He left it over for Aharon HaKohen. He decided, he chose not to do the Avodah. So again, our Gemara during the Shivas Yimei Amaluim, there's a man that holds that Moshe Rabbeinu really was a Kohen Gadol. He could have always done the Avodah, but the Kerenoyer is saying he didn't do the Avodah. Kerenoyer is saying he didn't do the Avodah. Does that answer Tais Kasha? Tais wants to know how did he do the Avodah? Kerenoyer says he didn't. Yeah, not sure. But the bottom line is Kerenoyer says it was Britzoyna Hayotali, and he on his own decided not to do the Avodah. Now why not? So to Kerenoyer because he was Torah B'Shchin. Now, really, that line of Tarab B'Shechina comes from the Gemara. Right? The Gemara says Moshe was Tarab B'Shechina. The Gemara says, where do you find that he was Tarab B'Shechina? Because you find Bashkama Alo, Bashkama Yarad. It's really a little bit of a hard Gemara to understand. Because when was Moshe Rabbeinu Bashkama Alo, Bashkama Yarad? This all happened when? It happened when he went up to Mekabel the Torah, 40 days. What's it have to do with 40 years in the Midbar? Where's the Bashkama Alo, Bashkama Yarad? I looked around, I saw that Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman, Zeichet Tzadik Levrach, he says, Tzorich in Gadol, he has no Havana in the world. What the Gemara even means? I mean, so Rashi learns the Gemara, Ayin Sham. But it's a little bit hard to understand. But either way, Moshe Rabbeinu was Tarud B'Shechina, this is what the Kerenoyer says, and because of that, he chose not to do the Avodah. So maybe we could just make one Sushtal, as it relates to understanding this a little bit better. So again, one takeaway, little faplantert. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol, and if Moshe Rabbeinu wants to do the Avodah, he could do the Avodah every single day. But he decided on his own, he chose not to do the Avodah. The Chasam Sofer in a drasha, and this is in a drasha that he gave on Parsha Zachar in the year Tov Kuf Peivav, this is in Prishbarg, in the old Tfusim, it's Tav Kuf Tzadik Gimel Amid Aleph, that's where it starts, it goes into Tar Beis. In the new Tfusim, it's Drush Yud. So the Chasam Sofer brings from the Pirish of the Balei Tosfos al HaTorah that said that if you look in Parshas Vayikra, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Aharon Uvanov to do the Avodah, so 9 times it says that the Bnei Aharon are the ones that should do the Avodah. V'krivu Bnei Aharon, it says it 9 times. 9 times it says V'zorku Bnei Aharon, they're the ones that should do the Avodah. Why? So the Balei Tosfos said, it's keneged the 9 times that Aharon HaKohen's name is mentioned by the Chet Eichel. So if you look in the Parsha of the Eichel, 9 times Aharon HaKohen's name is mentioned, and connected that 9 times Hashem tells the Bnei Aharon to do the Avodah, not Aharon to do the Avodah. Now, Pashit, everyone in history who ever learned this shtickle learned it, that what the Balei Tosfos were trying to say was like an oinish on Aharon, that because Aharon was involved in the Chet HaEgel, say he was punished. What was the punishment? Not we're going to tell Aharon, but we're going to tell the Bnei Aharon. 9 times the Bnei Aharon, and it's Mechuvin Mamish, Pinklech, Kenegan, the 9 times that the name Aharon is mentioned by the Eagle. But said the Helegachsam Sofer, Vani Oimer, I hold, She Efshel Lefarish Lignai, it's impossible to be Mefarish this Lignai. I don't think that's the Pashup Shana, what's going on over here. Al Kain, Nirulani is Daiti Behepach, says the Chsam Sofer, I hope Shad is just the opposite. And he's Makdamid with a Gemara, and then the Mesechta's. First parak of Masechtas Megillah, Tezayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Gadol Talmud Torah Yosem Atzalus Nefashas, a classic Gemara, right? That Talmud Torah is greater than Atzalus Nefashas. Why? Because you find that Mordechai HaTzadik used to learn Torah, and then he had a perfect approval rating. But then, when he got involved in Atzalus Nefashas and different areas of Askanas, it was Pirshu Mimenu Mikzah Sanhedrin. And we learn from here that Gadol Talmud Torah Yosem Atzalus Nefashas. Freak the Tazin Yeriday Simin Reishin and Aleph. I don't understand. You mean to tell me Mordechai did something wrong? I mean, that's what it sounds like. So Pekuach Nefesh is Doicha Talmud Torah, for sure freak the Taz that when Moshe Rabbein, that what Mordechai HaTzadik did was the right thing, and because it is, he says a little bit of a teretz. Zok Tehele Gechsam Sofer, I'm going to tell you Pshat and Chazal. Avad what Mordechai HaTzadik did was right. There's no question in the world. If it's a, you're sitting and learning, you're in front of a shtender, and you're teeth in the sugya, and someone's drowning by Yam, of course Pekuach Nefesh is Doicha Talmud Torah. There's no question in the world. But stating that, listen to Lashoni Azov. Ach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shehiz min mitzvah zu lemartchai. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave the mitzvah pekuach nefashas to Mordechai, v'loy la'acher, he didn't give it to somebody else, must be that the Torah of Mordechai HaTzadik wasn't so chaviv by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it must have been that Torah soy shal acherim hi chaviva yoyser was more beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For the rotz HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheyispatlu heim mitam Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that they should be mevatul Torah. Al kein his mila Mordecha. She said, Mordecha, I'd rather you be... Someone has to do the job. You see, this is a mistake that we sometimes make. Right? People think Bishvili Nivra Oilam, that if they weren't here, all the Gevaldig Avodas that they're doing, and I don't mean this facetiously, all the real Gevaldig Avodas that they're doing wouldn't be done. If the Eibishter needs something to get done, Kach Kibalti, that is going to be done. Harbe Shlucha L'machim, it's a schus that the Eibishter is mezaka different yechidim, to be mezakeh sarabim in different areas. But no one should ever have a havamina for 1 second, b'shvili nivra oilam, that if this person was not involved in his avodah, all of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be bankrupt. Doesn't work that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will figure it out. Who gives a chenetz? No, if you have the schus to be the shliach, you're going to be the shliach. But really, let's be honest, the Eibishter will figure it out. And if it has to get done, it's going to get done. But the bottom line is, said the Chsam Sofer, that the Eibishter needed someone. Someone was going to do this. But if Hashem chose Mordechai, not to be the one learning, but rather to be the one involved in that, says his Torah is not chaviva kol kach. When the Anshe Knesset Gedolah understood that, Hoyridu Madrega Achas, he lost the Madrega. The Anshe Knesset Gedolah tapped into this. They said, what's up is Hashem had kefirt that also Mordechai HaTzadik, he's not learning anymore so much. All of a sudden, he's saving the world. I understand. But must be his Torah is not so chaviv, and that's why he lost a little bit of Madrega. And says the Chassam Sofer, this is really a rule. That anytime a person is presented with a mitzvah, and this mitzvah can be done by somebody else, of course, we know the halach is, lo yispatu mitam Torah avura. If you have no choice, you have no choice. But there's a little bit of an omen in the fact that you were the one that was faced with this challenge to be the person that has quote-unquote no choice. It means on some level that maybe the Torah of this person is not as chavav. Said the Chsam Sofer, the Kohanim have an unbelievable avodah. What's their avodah? They're the ones that represent Klal Yisrael in the Beis HaMikdash. They're the Shluchei, the Rachmana. They're the Shluchei, of Klal Yisrael. They have an incredible, incredible, incredible mission in life. But there's a mission that's even greater than that. You know what mission is greater than that? The mission of learning Torah, or even more than that, the mission of teaching Torah, but even more than that, the rabbim heshiv meyavoin, the avodah of being able to be makar of people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, people that otherwise would never learn, people that otherwise are so far removed, they're in a place where they have no hasog in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That avodah is greater than the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Kehanim don't really have a choice. Kehanim have no choice. They were given a mission. Your job is not to be the ones that are going to go out and spread the word and bring, you know, people that are far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your job is to do shechit
Shmita, Kabbalah, Hilach, and Zrika. And then Aktara, and Achilas Basar, and then Shvich HaShivit. That's your Avodah. But recognize, it's not on the same level. It's not on the same level of someone that has the schus to be mezakeh the rabbim in a way where he's going to be a rabbim heishem eyovin. Says the Chassam Sofer. Aharon HaKohen was told that because of his role in the Chet HaEgel, because of what he did, he's going to be rewarded. You know what his reward is going to be? His reward is going to be he's not going to have to do the Avodah. What do you mean? He's not going to have to do the Avodah. No. V'ekrivu b'nei Aharon. V'ektiru b'nei Aharon. V'zorku b'nei Aharon. You know what you're going to do? You're going to do something that's bigger. You're going to do what the Mishnah Nova says, that you should be mitamid of Shal Aharon HaKohen. You're going to be an Oyev Shalom, v'roid of Shalom, Oyev Esabrias, u'mekarvan l'toyra, which is the Avodah of Aharon HaKohen, v'rabim heishem eyovin. It's a pasuk of Malachi talking about Aharon HaKohen. That's the job of the Kohen Gadol, to be a v'rabim heishem eyovin. Right, we always talk about the job of the Levi is, yeah, but it's also Yerim Mishpatech Yaakov, it's a Rosh Yisrael. And that Avodah says the Chassam Sofer is a greater Avodah than what he's doing l'fnai v'lifnim. That's a much bigger avodah. So said the Chassam Sofer, that's what's going on over here. Because of Aharon HaKohen's role in the Chet HaEgel, because his name is mentioned 9 times in the Chet HaEgel, he wasn't punished 9 times, you don't do the avodah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him that your Torah, your avodah, Rabbi Meshem Yabin is so chavav by me, that I would prefer you be Isaac in this. So I'm going to give those 9 avodahs instead to the Bnei Aharon. And it's Bnei Aharon, Bnei Aharon, Bnei Aharon, because I don't want you to have to do that. Now someone has to do it, and it's doich, it's the right thing to do. But if the Torah is so chav by Kodesh Baruch, and that's the... Now you're going to talk, what do you mean? Because he was involved, Aharon HaKohen, in the Chet HaEgel, that's why this is his reward. So we know the answer to that in this Chaburah, because we mentioned this Chassam Sofer so many times, Chassam Sofer in Parshas Tetzav and Teiris Moshe, who says that the greatest act of Mesiras Nefesh in history was what Aharon HaKohen did by the Chet HaEgel. Because Aharon HaKohen wasn't holding by the Chet HaEgel, but he did the Chet HaEgel because of what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Dav Zayin, that he realized if they're going to kill him, they will have killed a Kohen Venovi. And he said, Ulai, maybe they won't have any tikva. But if they worship the eagle, maybe they will have a tikva. So how am I going to get them to do the eagle? So Aharon HaKohen says, I'm going to sacrifice myself. And the Chassam Sofer says, when Aharon HaKohen engaged in the Chet HaEgel, he thought it was all over. He thought he was giving himself up. And not just giving up his guf, giving up his neshama, which is the true Mesiras Nefesh, says the Chassam Sofer. You give up your guf, okay, you lose this world. You give up your nefesh, that's chorus. You're gone forever. And Aharon HaKohen was prepared to give up his nefesh to save the nation. Right, that's the great madrega of the ego. And because of his role in the Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that if you're willing to be so moise nefesh, so moise nefesh for under a yidden, then your avoid of a rabbim heishiv meyavoin, your avoid of yoru mishpatecha leYakov iseros leYisrael, to be an ambassador for my Torah is so chavav by me that I don't want you to do the avodah. Bnei Aharon. But every time it says Aharon, Aharon gets a schar. That his Torah, his v'rabim heishem eyovin, is going to be viewed as being so chaviv by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that the avodah is going to end up being done by somebody else. Now the truth is, where is Aharon suddenly mentioned as being the one that Hashem is talking to? It's the beginning of Parashat Tzav. Tzavis Aharon v'esbon of Lamar. So the Chassam Sofer here, and really in a bunch of places, why here? So for 9 times the Parshas Vayikra, Bnei Aharon, Bnei Aharon, Bnei Aharon. All of a sudden, Tzavis Aharon. Why all of a sudden now are you commanding Aharon? So the Chassam Sofer says, based on something the Chavis Avava says in Shar HaKniya, he says that one of the jobs of the Kohen was, he had to be Moitzi as Hadeshen. You know what that means in English? In English, it means he had to take out the garbage. He said, really, that's a very, very billig job. But Aharon HaKohen had to have this message of Kniya, of Anova. And there's an Indian that you see Anova from the Chumas Hadeshen, from the Hoitzias Hadeshen, says the Chavis Avavas. You see, it doesn't matter who you are. You're a priest, you're a high priest, you do it anyways. So says the Chassam Sofer, yeah, up until this point, Aharon does this message of a Hoitzias Hadeshen al Michutz Lamachina. This Aharon HaKohen needs also. Because Faker, he's the Kohen Gadol. He needs it even more than anybody else. And it's for that reason over here it's Sav Aharon. Chassam Sofer, one of the places says that why does the pasuk begin with the word sav? Right? Why the word sav? So he says that al pi this chayv sav of this, that there's a message of anova over here. So he says that we know the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin that in the Sheva Mitzvah Noach, coming full circle with Avodah Zarah, that one of the Sheva Mitzvah Noach is Avodah Zarah. How do you know that? Because the pasuk says vayitzav Hashem Elikim es ha'adam. Right? Vayitzav Hashem Elikim ala Adam. That's the pasuk of the Shem Mitzvah Noach. And in Vayitzav Ella avoid the Zara. It's a Lashon HaGemara. So the Chasam Sofer says that this pasuk is a message in Anova. And Kol HaMiska'e, the Gemara says, is ki ilu oved avoid the Zara. That's why the pasuk, the parish is called Sav. Because Sav means avoid the Zara. But either way, Vashtet on the Chasam Sofer. That the avoida that the Kehanim used to do in the Beis HaMikdash was a gewaldige avoida. But it doesn't come to the avoida of Aharon HaKohen. The avoida of Aharon HaKohen is the avoida of Rabim Heshiv Me'avoin. That's the avoida of Aharon HaKohen. And really, it's better for Aharon HaKohen to be a Rabim Heshiv Me'avoin than to be in the Beis HaMikdash doing the avoida. I don't know, but maybe this is a little bit of a tzushtal. The Karnayra says that Moshe Rabbeinu Lei Matzinu that he did the avoida during these 40 years in the Midbar. And the Karnayra says, B'ritzoynei hayo taloi, and em hayo ritzoynei hayo yachal l'shamish b'kuna g'day l'kam, Kol mem shana beches begadim. Ela mishum de tarib b'shchina. Hinich laharin akuna gedayla. And it's very shver what this means. Tarib b'shchina is coming from the Gemara in Zvachim Kuf Alev on the Beis. But arvach arvet tzarech. That Gemara also is very sussum. It's very hard to know what exactly that Gemara means. But it could be that Moshe Rabbeinu Avadi could have been the Kohen Gadol. Avad, if he wanted to do the Avoida, he could have done the Avoida. U'britzoy noyhal yetaloi. Because Moshe Rabbeinu understood that being Rabban Shel Kol B'nei Agoyla, being the teacher of Torah for Klal Yisrael, that's a bigger madrega. That's a bigger madrega than even being the Kohen Gadol. And it's for that reason, if he wanted to be Kohen Gadol, he could have been the Kohen Gadol. But he understood that this was greater. And the truth is, if you think about it, could be it's a Mefurish Gemara. It's a Gemara that we actually learned together in this Masechta, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, it says, Yikarihi Mepninim. What does it mean, Yikarihi Mepninim? That Torah is so chashuv, it's even more chashuv than the Kohen Gadol HaNichnas Lefnai V'Lefnim. It means when a person learns Torah, really his Avoida is a greater Avoida than the Kohen Gadol that goes Lefnai V'Lefnim. If it's true for someone that learns Torah, Kal V'Chaymer, it's true for someone that's Melamed Torah. And Kal V'Chaymer Ben Benoishu Kal V'Chaymer, Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the Melamed Torah LeYisrael, who is literally Shechina Medaberes Mitoich Groinoi. Maybe that's what it means, Torah Demashchina. The Shechina Medaberes Mitoich Groinoi. I don't know. But the bottom line is, who Moshe Rabbeinu, who Shechina Medaberes Mitoich Groinoi, that avoida, the avoida of infusing Yidden with Torah, V'rabim Heshem Me'ovein, das is aggressor avoida. That's Yikarihim Yikon Godel HaNichnas Lefnai V'Lefnim. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he could have been the Kohen Gadol if he wanted to, aber b'tzoynoi hayotoloi, hayotorid emashchino shemedaberes b'tech groinoi, maybe that's the reason that we don't find that Moshe Rabbeinu was ever Oisek Davar. Even Aharon HaKohen wouldn't have. Good, there's certain things Aharon had no choice, he had to do. Moshe Rabbeinu had the choice. And because Moshe Rabbeinu had the choice, he chapped. What's the Iker? What's more chavud? And it's for that reason Moshe Rabbeinu was Oisek and Avoida, he was Oisek.